Tell the people what you just said to me, please. That was so rude.
Oh, I was like, we're not going to film today if you look like that, right?
Dead serious. Who says that? He looks over at me. We're not going to film a video today if you look like that, right? Like, I mean, give a girl a break. Damn.
I mean, look, to be fair, she did say she wasn't going to go to this surprise thing that I'm going to afterwards because of the way she looks. So she kind of set it up.
I mean, I don't feel like I look
that bad. She looks pretty anyway.
Now he's sucking up. Kiss my ass. No, I just kind of tried to do a mini workout because my day has been back to back to back. And I was like, ooh, I got to burn some steam, you know?
Yep.
How's your week been?
It's been good.
Have you recovered from your boat trip?
I have.
I wonder if people listening were like, damn, Chip's a baller.
I mean, I got some comments on my Instagram from friends that are like, are you on a yacht?
Yeah.
I was like well, technically I'm on a jet ski, but it does belong on a yacht. It was good. Like, Lindsay L, it was her birthday on Saturday, and we had booked 4 shows. Like, she played in Nashville and Chattanooga the weekend
before. 4 shows? That's like normal living.
I know, it's crazy. It's like a full-on world tour.
Dang.
And she played in Huntsville, Alabama on Saturday, and it was her birthday, so, nice. And her bass player's birthday. So I drove down for it, and I mean, it's definitely weird because it's not the same exact experience.
Right.
But it was awesome to like be in a room like with live music and fans. And but you know, it's the room normally holds like 400 people, and we were only allowed to sell 88 tickets.
Oh wow.
So it's like you still get feedback, which is right. Really nice. Like when you're doing a live stream, you're just like, you don't get the same sort of feedback. So there is feedback, but it's just like, as she said, it felt great.
Yeah.
But you know, I want to sweat, but it was so awesome to like be in a loud room and
totally.
Have loud guitars.
I can't wait. Oh, I'm like counting down the days. We started talking about, Dierks is doing that bluegrass festival mm-hmm. in June, and like, that's supposed to be the first show maybe, and it's outside and whatever. And I'm really going to try to go just because I'm like so desperate for live music.
You like need a laminate.
I know.
You're like, I want a laminate.
Oh, I need something that reminds me of who I used to be.
You know what's crazy to think? I mean, I guess there were a few shows we probably went to in 2020 in the beginning of the year.
Oh, like, think I was about how, to like, say, speak for yourself. I forget that it didn't start till March. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, January is usually a pretty light month.
Right.
The last show I saw was Jordan Davis. I went to LA. So,
yeah.
So I have
him.
A ticket.
He's
I was going to say, like, how weird would it be if like we didn't have a ticket or a laminate or a sticky like at all from 2020?
Oh yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that's sort of like my archaeological like dig.
I feel so douchey right now.
I know,
saying
but like
these kind of like whenever you
but
said,
that's like
I need
my history.
What
you
an
know?
Asshole. We're like, we don't do tickets, only laminates.
No, I save all of my tickets. I think one day I want to take, because I've saved every ticket that I've ever had a physical ticket for.
Yeah.
And I think I want to make like a wallpaper out of them.
Oh, that'd be cool. That's good memories. Cool story.
Cool story, bro.
So moving on.
How was your week?
Well, you know, I'm like recovering from spring break.
Oh, yeah.
But not
well,
in a way that
a lady.
I... Well, right. Not in the way I used to have to recover from spring
right.
break. Right. Seriously, it's so interesting like how life changes, but being like, you know, like 2 kids full on, no school. Like it's such a different... kind of tired.
Right.
It's like, because you're just constantly needing activities to keep them occupied kind of thing. And so I came back and I was like, oof, I need a vacation for my vacation. And I got called lady. Like, I really need to go to therapy or something. So there was, I'm just kidding about that, by the way. But I've told that story 800 times and everyone's like, ooh, I bet that pissed you off. And I'm like, see, my people know me. Like, seriously.
What's so funny because like, I mean, if someone called you girl, you'd be like, I'm not a girl. You know what I mean?
I'd be pissed like, about that too. It was really her tone.
It's all about the tone.
But the way that she said it, she meant to call me old. Like I knew 100%. It. You know what I mean? Like 100%. She wanted to be like, back up, a lady. Like you get your old ass back in the
Karen.
House.
It was like, she was calling you a Karen.
And I'm like, no, that's the neighbor. Because her actual name was Karen, the neighbor, which was perfect. But yeah, she was like, that was so insulting to me. Because I mean, like technically, I guess I am a lady at this point. But I mean,
it's like,
would you ever describe me as a lady?
Never.
Though? I say the F word way too much.
A lady is like the people that go to church with your grandparents.
Correct.
You know, like those are ladies.
Like, I don't even think of my mom as a lady.
Exactly.
Anyway, this is another topic for another day. Hey, if you ladies out there have experiences like that where a younger person calls you something that really offends you, even if it's ma'am, send them to us at casual@velvetsedge.com. We really have to change our email.
But meanwhile, it's like, how many times did you go to like a ladies' night? You know what I mean?
This is ladies' night. Yeah, but if you're owning that you're a lady, it's different than if someone else insults you by calling you lady. Right. Anyway, I want to hear other people's stories. Maybe this is a me thing. Maybe I'm getting sensitive about my age and I don't even know it. I'm like subconscious. Anyway, okay, so you had this really fun idea and I loved it, but this is something you got at what, Restoration Hardware, you said?
Well, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I have no idea where I got it.
It's a game.
I found it today at my house, and I was like, oh, maybe that could be fun for today. It's called Table Topics.
So we each...
For Restoration Hardware is what it said.
Oh, gotcha. Well, it's a beautiful case, so yeah. I assume that's where you got it. It's called Table Topics, and we each just took a handful of questions. I think I narrowed mine down to 5.
I think I've got 5, too.
Okay. And so we're going to read through the questions and just answer them and see what conversations come up. We don't know what the other person is going to ask, so this should... None of mine are really racy, but this is the edge. So if you need to take it there, please do.
Well, it's like, the questions, quite honestly, are pretty vanilla. And I was hoping that, because it wasn't even open when I found it today.
Yeah.
So
you've never played.
I was kind of hoping it was, the questions would make us like go a little deeper. A lot of them were like, who's your favorite celebrity? You know, like.
Boring.
Yeah, that's boring. So I tried to find some that like. Might inspire a little deeper response.
Okay.
Who wants to go first?
I love that we're popping the cherry.
How about
together.
Ladies first?
Oh, rude. Shots fired. Rude. Fine. Okay. This one seemed very COVID topical to me. If you had to lose one of your senses, which would you pick? I find this really hard to think about.
I've actually thought about this a lot.
Tell me.
I would lose my sight.
Really?
Yeah, because I feel like at this point, I know what the people I love look like, and I know like what I think is beautiful looks like. Mm-hmm. So I would lose that. I know it would make for a much harder life to be blind, but I would hate to lose the sense of touch.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to lose the sense of smell or taste because I think that makes food just like not matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to hear. Like I have to be able to hear music.
Right. I would lose smell, I think. I don't want to lose any of them. I feel very grateful for all of my senses. But I think I would lose smell. And I do not know what that feels like because I did not lose. That was not one of my symptoms of COVID. But my boyfriend is smell blind is what we call him. And he can't smell.
Is that because of COVID or
no,
just in general?
No, like he never has.
I mean, it would kind of be nice to never smell like farts.
Well, he has really bad gas. And so I'm always like, this is so fucked up. Like, how do you? This is so rude. Why would you do that?
And he just doesn't smell
it. And he just laughs because he can't smell it. It's awful. It's literally like some sort of torture.
Does he taste, like, does he enjoy food?
Yes. And so it's like very interesting because every now and again, there'll be something that there's like specific smells that he can smell. But like, it has to be very strong and it's a very certain thing. Like maybe it's like gasoline at a gas station.
Interesting.
Something like that. But like he doesn't like candles around the house because he just thinks they're clutter. Like I love candles. And so I keep putting candles out. And he's like, oh, do we need more of these? And I realized I'm like, oh, because you can't even smell them.
Yeah,
so he doesn't enjoy them.
I only use these for light in the 1800s.
Right. Which, yeah, that's a joke. And it's just like he hates clutter. So it's
so
isn't
funny.
That so interesting?
Yeah.
So that would be mine. Okay, you're up.
All right. In which activity would you like a lesson from an expert?
Isn't the easy answer sex?
I mean, yeah. So what would like...
I mean, I would like a lesson on any sort of activity from an expert. That's what I find fascinating, people's expertise. But like it would be, if we're doing sex, for instance, like it would be interesting to be like, oh, I never even thought about it from that angle.
From that
I was trying to say
ba-dum,
angle.
Boom.
Yeah. Ba-dum, tsh. Or, you know, like you never knew about that sort of sensation that could happen or I don't know, all the different things.
Hmm.
Would a porn star be considered a sex expert though?
I don't know because I feel like what they do in porn is
fake,
is more performative than
erotic.
It's
like entertainment.
Truly erotic. Yeah. What would I, if I, maybe like a race car driver.
Yeah. That'd
you know,
be fun.
Like that would be really fun. Because it's not something that I like, I know how to drive.
Yeah.
So it's not like, I would love to say I'd love to take a guitar lesson, but I'm not a guitar player. So I know how to drive. So to like get a chance to like drive a race car on a racetrack with like a race car driver would be really right. fun.
I think that would be really fun. I think they offer stuff like that. But I got to do this thing one time with Dirks that was like, I don't remember. I think we were at Porsche or something. This is about to sound so bougie, by the way, which I'm not. This is like what he got to do and I just got to tag along because we were at work. But he was doing some like, I think it was a private show. Was it Porsche? It was one of those like fast car companies. And they had this like thing. They have a track there. And so you can get in the car with one of the drivers and they take you around the track. I almost puked. It is insane.
Like the G-forces.
I guess, but it's like, you don't know. Oh, I don't know cars. Don't ask me. But it was just like the way that your body feels when you're going so fast around the curves. Like I almost threw up and I was like, I had to have my eyes closed because I was just screaming so loud. A friend of ours was in the car with us. It's Dirks' day-to-day manager. And she just like literally sat there silent with her eyes closed the whole time. And then we got out and she finally breathed. She was like, Steph, because she couldn't handle it. She did not like it at all.
See, I don't know that I would like to be a passenger. I would want to be driving.
Oh, you would want to actually drive. Yeah. Interesting. I would not want to be in a passenger in your car, but no thanks.
But the thing is like, I would probably barely get over 100 miles an hour. You know what I mean? Like they're driving. I don't know how fast they drive.
Yeah. Do you want me to go?
Yeah, your turn.
Okay. What it would be the best and worst thing about being rich and famous?
The best and worst thing. I mean, the best would be not having to worry about, like, more about, that applies more to the rich. Like,
yeah.
I mean, look, I think that there is definitely, like, you can be too rich. Like, I just want to be rich enough to, like, know that I don't have to worry for the rest of my life. Like, that is the like... Oh God, like that keeps me up at night thinking about that stuff. Like I see people that like are just so stupid rich that I don't understand like why? Why? Like they're starving people. Like just give your money away. Like you don't need all that. Like to be honest, it's like why should somebody's great great grandchildren never have to work because you fucking worked your ass off? I would be like that to me would be like no, I'm here to inspire you to work really hard. So, rich, I think just not having to worry. I would like that. The worst part about it, I think, would be knowing whether or not like your relationships are real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like what people's ulterior motives are with you, because you know it's tough. Like, you have access to things that people don't have access to. And just, you know, I think it's hard enough to have real, like, good friends that
authentic.
You can go deep with. Mm-hmm. So I think when you add fame to that, it's like suddenly everyone wants to be your friend and you don't know why.
Yeah. Mine would be, so obviously the best thing about being rich would be getting to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it, I think. Like, with no boundaries. That sounds awesome.
Like private travel.
Yes, exactly. It just makes life easy. The positives I think about being famous are similar to that in that like you just get perks for things. You know, like you might get shipped a bunch of cool clothes or something because people want you to post about it. It's just like stuff like that, just like the perks, getting a laminate instead of a ticket.
Yeah, totally.
those kind of easy things. The worst part to me, the rich, I agree with you. It would be like not knowing what was real and what people were just trying to use you for. The worst thing about being famous to me would be from my brief experience with being in the public eye on a TV show. And that is people making assumptions about you and wanting to know like very personal things and like falsely accuse, you know, like falsely making assumptions about you without knowing you. It's a really, really, really terrible feeling.
Yeah, that does suck.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, I want to add a little bit to my like the other good, something else that I think is the greatest thing about being rich and famous is the ability to help other people.
Yes.
And in part of that is like the access that you get to other people with means.
Mm-hmm.
Like I feel like it's always so funny, like, you know, if you're a rich and famous person, you can be like, I want to get this person on the phone. And it's so easy because it's like they recognize your name or whatever. And it's not like, even if like I had the best solution in the world for something that Reese Witherspoon, I mean, she's the first celebrity that popped in my head.
That's what the
like
funniest
that I thought
thing,
she needed.
The funniest thing is that Reese Witherspoon popped in your mind and Brad Pitt popped into mine.
That's
like
so
of
funny.
All people.
Yeah. Like if I had something that I think was like the best solution in the world or like wanted to help Reese like do something, like it would be near impossible for me to get to her.
Yeah.
You know,
well, you
even if like my intentions were really good.
Totally. But if Reese wanted to get in touch with anybody, she could be like, hey, get so-and-so on the phone.
Yeah, get so-and-so on the phone and people are going to answer.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's a good one. Okay. Do you have a question?
Oh, yes.
You're
what
up.
Have you learned this week?
Don't laugh at me.
Oh, you got to do it.
I'm like literally just sitting here looking at the ground.
Yeah, you know, silence is death on a podcast. You want me to sing until you're ready?
Am I going to do it? How do I put this into words? Okay, so I'm like literally, I'm without words.
And Kelly's never without words.
That is rude. That is actually not true either.
Well, it's a good thing to like have words.
Okay, okay, so I just got to get to it. So I got a text this week from...
From who?
from Kristen. And Kristen Cavalieri. And I have had a falling out with her in the past. And so I can't believe I'm just like diving. I'm like, I'm a little like stunned at myself right now. But we got to just talk to the people, right?
Yeah.
These are our people. So I got a text from her this week and I was completely shocked because we had a terrible public falling out. I still don't really understand it, which I've said on another podcast, but she was very upset with me, I guess, and maybe confused some things would be the nice way to say it, and talked about some false accusations, speaking of, on national television, and it really was pretty awful for me, and so our friendship went away. And so anyway, she texted me this week out of the blue. Wow. And
how long has it been?
Like, I mean, I don't know, 2 years almost.
Wow, it's really been that long. Okay.
A year and a half, at least. Yeah. A year and a half.
I guess it was definitely pre-COVID, and that's been
a year. It was pre-COVID, And it was a slow demise because I didn't even know she was mad at me. And then she was all of a sudden mad at me. And then we were supposed to start filming. And then I didn't film because I filmed one time and completely realized they were setting me up to look terrible and not at all. And they have editing power that I didn't have. And so I never filmed again. And so, and then like, I didn't know what they were going to actually talk about on the show. And then they ended up throwing me under the bus in such a major way. It was like complete character assassination and also not true. And so that was very frustrating to me, to say the least. So anyway, when I got the text, my first reaction, to be quite honest, well, I'll say she said, I'm not going to read the text. I think these are like, that's personal and I think that's gross. But to sum it up, she basically just was reaching out to just say, you know, like, I think about you and I wish you the best. And I'm still sad about what happened between us, kind of thing. And so, I mean, I texted it to you and you were like, is that really her? Because she got a new number. And I fact checked it with multiple people before I decided I was going to write back. Because I was like, is this really her? Am I being like punked right now? Like what's happening? Yeah,
it was definitely like oddly phrased.
And it was kind of oddly phrased, but I don't know. Maybe she didn't know what to say or someone else helped her write it or something. But anyway, and then my second thought was, what is she filming? Cause that is so like, I was so traumatized by what they did on the show and like faking that I wouldn't write back to stuff. And I just was like, is there a camera over her shoulder?
Well, it's also realistic. I mean,
that's
the world that she lives in.
Yeah. I hate that I thought that and I hate that I didn't just trust it, but my trust has been broken. And so, anyway, to get to the question of what have I learned this week, I ended up writing her back. I took a day, I slept on it and I, decided for myself that, you know, I'm still working through some of my anger around it. If I'm being completely honest, like I would never say that like I want to mend that friendship necessarily or like have her as a part of my life because again, my trust was betrayed and like, I don't know. I think I've like seen a side that I don't know that I could come back from. However, for myself, I would like to move forward with my life. Like I would like to put this part of my life behind me, take the lessons that I learned and, really kind of just like let go of it. And I've let go of a lot of it. And I think I've moved forward, and then something will happen and I get triggered back into the anger. But I wrote her back because as humans, I think we all make decisions that we maybe regret, or we do things that we're like, huh, I could have maybe done that differently. It wasn't like an apology text by any means or anything like that, but it was a sort of felt like an olive branch to mm-hmm. some degree. And I thought, well, if I don't write her back, that's me holding on to it even more. And so I just wrote her back and said, yeah, it's been really sad. Quite a grieving process for me. I wish you love and light moving forward, and I hope you find your happiness and peace. And I really do wish that for her. You know, right. I hope everyone right. finds that. So, and that's it. And now I feel a little relieved and done.
It's
and
like
I can
like closing of the door.
I think so.
I mean, it is crazy to think like it does kind of feel like that was just happening, but like we've been through COVID. She's uh-huh. not married.
Right.
Like there's so much has changed right. since all of this went down. And it must feel really good to like breathe a little bit now.
I think you know? So. And I think what I realized too was I had gotten there more than I knew before that text happened.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like on my own, I had released and let go. And that's through a ton of work and like a ton of crying and bad days and all sorts of shit. But I think that I have grieved a lot of it. And I've also been able to get to the place on good days where I'm not mad, and I just know that it was like someone working through something in their own life, and I happened to get kind of mixed into whatever that was, projecting right. or I don't know what. And so it's like, whatever. We all have done that at some point in our life. It's not like I'm a perfect human that doesn't have any regrets in my life. So I'll just leave it at that, and like I can give the grace today to be like, we're all just doing the best we can.
Yeah.
So I tried to do the best I could and do it. I did it for me though, because it was like I couldn't write something that I thought it would affect me if she did write back, didn't write back. If, you know, like I
right.
really had to be like, what is true for me? And I also didn't want to just be like, oh, I wish you love and happiness and blah, blah, blah. If I didn't mean it.
Right.
Like I wanted to actually mean it.
I feel like you also sent a clear message like, end of conversation.
Yeah, I wasn't like asking for any more text back.
You kind of nipped it in the bud, which is great because it was like she sent you some positivity, you sent her some positivity, and now you
can
both go
about
your lives.
And now let's both move forward and be adults and whatnot. So hopefully there's not some reality TV show I don't know about happening, but guess we'll all see. Guess we'll all see. I'll report back on that.
There you go.
Okay. Anyway, what's yours, Chip?
What did I learn? So, I mean, as you were talking, I kind of was like, oh, shit, I have to answer this. This is a random one, but I don't know if you watched it yet. There's a new documentary on Hulu called Kid 90.
Okay.
And it was directed and produced by Soleil Moon Frye. And
oh, yeah.
For those of you who don't know who Soleil Moon Frye is, she was a child star at 5 of a show called Punky Brewster.
This. Yeah.
And she just made a documentary of that is basically self-shot. So after Punky Brewster, she bought a video camera and started recording everything. She always had it with her friends on set. When she ended up going to NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she filmed everything. She saved every voicemail she got. She saved every journal she ever wrote, and she locked it all in a vault.
That's amazing.
And she went back through and got to relive her childhood by watching it. And
wow.
there's a lot of her friends have committed suicide.
Wow.
I mean, she was like, all child stars, it seems like yeah. every child star was, they were friends because there was a smaller
pool. It was like a small community. Yeah.
And she interviewed, and they're all in, like the ones who are still alive that she's close with are in this too. She interviews them today.
That's amazing.
And, so like there's this amazing thing. She wrote a letter to herself that comes at the end of the film. And you know, I was like bawling watching it toward the end because it just makes you feel so like nostalgic
mm-hmm.
for what was.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when you're a kid and you're growing up, like you don't have anything to reflect back on. Like you are just living.
Yeah.
And now like as an adult, you all the bullshit that you've like put in your suitcase and dragged along with you, like is there with you today, and we have to work through it. But like for her to be able to sort of like look back and be like, all of these things that I thought were problems, like
they weren't real.
You know, I was surrounded by people who loved me that I loved, like, and to like survive that and like be an adult living in your own like sort of being, to be able to sort of just reflect and like be like, you're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that like, you know, we all have our insecurities. We have our things that we don't like about ourselves. You know, we think we've got these like burdens that happened to us mm-hmm. long ago, but like we survived them. And I think that's something that's really important to, just mm-hmm. reflect on. Like
yeah.
every day is a new day that you get to be alive and be here. And just to appreciate the people that are around you mm-hmm. because you never know. Like, I mean, shit, I didn't know this, but like Andrew Dorff, she and Andrew Dorff were like friends in college.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So there's like random things
yeah.
that like, I mean, she and Stephen Dorff, so there may have been an existing relationship because Stephen Dorff and her were friends in LA. So Andrew may have known each other. It's not perfectly clear like where people, but it's like celebrity after celebrity after celebrity. Like it was crazy. And I mean, she lived like, man, like I'm a little jealous of her life because there was something about her that was so incredibly curious. And the biggest thing she ever did was Punky Brewster.
Mm-hmm.
So she had to deal with like the come down and, of all of that, you know, and it's like, yeah. then she was a fucking teenager and they were smoking weed and drinking beer and doing other drugs and dealing with like real life adult shit that like we didn't have to, but I don't know. It's like,
I want to watch it.
It's, I highly, highly recommend it. And it's not really necessarily something that I learned, but I think it's like, we have to just like sort of accept our lives are our lives and take every lesson that we can get from them and just appreciate every day that we have.
I'd love the idea though, or the reminder that you just said about that you went through that, but you survived it. Because sometimes I'll beat myself up sometimes too of like, why am I not further than I was? And then I like look at what was going on in my life when maybe there was like a hold up and I'm like, well, no wonder that was like a super traumatizing event and I worked through it and I became a better person
right.
and it got me to this next level. And it's just like, I think looking back and giving yourself that grace and just appreciation and then, and knowing too, that whatever it is you're going through, like this too shall pass and right. you will survive.
Well, I mean, and it works both ways too. Cause like the most fun thing that you've ever
totally.
Done is you're going to reach a point where you're not having fun anymore.
Right.
So it's like, if we lived our lives thinking that, like we would die of depression
yeah.
immediately
yeah.
because there's no way to sustain
well,
that.
Well, adulting so like, can be kind of dark if you oh, don't think about the fun stuff
yeah.
too. So
yeah,
anyway, that's a good one. That's a good one. Okay. What advice would you like to ask a happy and successful 85-year-old?
Oh God. Wait, will you repeat the question?
What advice would you like to ask a happy and successful 85-year-old?
wow. I think I would like to ask, how what do they do to stay young?
I like that.
You know, like
yeah.
how do you stay young?
Yeah. Yeah. Mine would be, what gives you the most peace or how did you find your peace?
Oh, that's a good one too.
Cause I have so much anxiety.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would imagine, and I'm not 85, but age, peace probably comes with age, right?
I think,
but there's probably
be...
an anxiety. Like, it depends on how much you want to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like age would bring peace.
The thing that I consistently hear from people who are older and more experienced and have peace is it's about fully accepting yourself as for who you are and knowing that you're worthy of love for just waking up. Like, you don't have to work for it. You don't have to do anything. Just you as a being is worthy of being loved.
Right.
And giving yourself that love every day.
Right.
So it's all about the self-love. I'm still working on that.
Mm-hmm.
What you got?
Well, this one's a little negative maybe.
Oh, God.
What three things do you dislike most in a person?
Lying.
Mm-hmm.
Manipulation. Mm-hmm. like selfishness or like constantly only thinking about things from your angle and not open, like lack of empathy, like
right.
not being able to go, oh, I could see it from that perspective. Maybe like just the inability to see outside of yourself.
Yeah, you that's kind of, you touched on two of mine, like lying is one.
Mm-hmm.
Indecisiveness is something that I find really unattractive.
Huh.
Because to me, it kind of like, if you just can't ever make up your mind, it says that you don't know who you are. And that's right. I find that really unattractive.
Yeah, fair.
Selfishness. Like,
yeah, it's the worst.
I think that like there's so many forms of it, you know, like
it looks so different too. Right. Yeah.
There are
yeah.
so many forms of it.
Okay. If you had 1 year to live, what would you do differently?
I would, if I had 1 year left to live, I think that I would say everything to people exactly the way that I want to say
mm-hmm.
it. I wouldn't hold anything back. And mostly in kindness. Mm-hmm. You know, I love a rom-com. And I feel like in my mind...
I love that statement.
In my mind,
I love a rom-com.
I want my life to be like a rom-com where it's like you have those difficult conversations and you say those really lovely things and...
Like, you complete me.
Yeah, like, just, I mean, I can't think of an example, but, like, there's plenty of things that I would probably love to say to my mom, and then I get around her, and I'm like, oh, God, that's going to come off so cheesy, and I just don't.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to say those things, though. Those things mean so much to people.
Right.
And I've never said anything to someone that they're like, that was really cheesy, if it's authentic.
Right.
I think people just read authenticity.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that, like... Maybe the better way to phrase it is I would find the bravery
mm-hmm.
to say those things without worrying about it sounding cheesy or whatever.
Yeah. I would not do anything I didn't want to do. I would work less and I would travel to just be like, to just go find, I don't know if I'm looking for myself or like peace or happiness, but just see all that I could see. And not get so tied down and like, oh, I got to do this today to get, you right. know, like none of that would matter.
Right.
It just doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
I'd probably sell my house and just like go live.
Yeah. I like that.
Okay. When you retire, how do you want to spend your time? Oh, I just did 2 in a row.
Well, that's fine. I definitely want to be by the water. Like
same.
I want to have a carefree life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like, I don't need to have a really nice house. Like I just need something with running water and electricity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I really care about. I want to be surrounded by, people I love. And that might not be my family that's here now. It might not be the friends that I have now, but like, I could see myself like living at the harbor in somewhere in the Bahamas and like being a local.
Yeah.
And just being around like the people at the bar that I love or whatever,
yeah.
you know, like,
yeah.
I just feel like it needs to have sand and water.
I love that idea too.
Yeah.
My parents are actually going through this cause they're retiring my dad already retired, but my mom is retiring this year. And she's kind of like, I don't know what the next thing is, but I gotta do something like, and I do think that's important is to have like a purpose every day. So I would find something simple that gave me joy. That's not necessarily like to go make money, but that filled my heart and my soul. And for me, that always involves connecting with people. So whatever that would be, like if it was volunteering somewhere or like helping the bingo night at the
right.
home that I live in or whatever it is, like something that connects me with people, that's positive, that brings me joy, that we have fun doing. And by water, it would be awesome too.
I just tried to picture you living in a home running the bingo game.
You know, I'd be like getting on the cheaters and they'd be like, listen, lady.
Listen,
and I'd be
like, lady. You're like, okay, fine. I am a lady.
I am a lady
you
now.
You are the bingo lady. What's your favorite line from a movie?
I don't have one. I like, it's so funny. I'm so bad at lines from movie. I just said one though. You completely, I actually hate that line though. But my boyfriend will constantly do movie quotes. Like he's so good at remembering them for some reason. And I can't, he'll be like, remember that. And I'm like, what? And it could be from one of my favorite movies. And I just can't remember lines. Like, I don't know. Maybe this is part of my like memory issue, but I literally could not for the life of me remember that. There was a scene in Sex and the City. This is a show, not the movie.
That works.
But she is talking to the Russian that she was dating, and they're about to break up, and she was just like, I'm just done, because he was so, you know, self-involved, and she was basically feeling neglected, essentially. And it wasn't like he was a bad person to her, but they got in this argument, and she just was like, I just, this isn't for me. Like, I want love, real, inconvenient, something else. See, I can't remember the line, but I loved the word inconvenient, because love and people can so often, like, and human emotion, to me, it, like, if you're trying to live life on a schedule, there's no time for humanity or human emotion or right. feelings and all that stuff. And I feel like what I want in my life and how I try to live my life is that humans are the most important part of my life, and connection, and the people and my relationships. And so even if I'm exhausted because I've had a super long work day or whatever it is, I'm going to try to pour all of that back into whatever it is they need. Even if I'm in a good mood and I come home and everyone's in a shit mood, like, I'm going to try to help out in the way I can, you know? And that's not convenient, but if you love people, I think that's how you live. And so I just love that line. And maybe one day I'll remember the full thing.
That was Mikhail. What was that? Who played that? He was that Russian dancer?
Yeah, Baryshnikov, right?
Baryshnikov, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mine, I struggle with movie quotes too.
Okay.
I mean, there are a couple movies that I could like nearly recite from start to finish, but they're like The Nutty Professor and Friday.
That's hilarious.
But I love this line from Steel Magnolias.
Of course.
It was Daryl Hannah's character. I think her name was Arnell.
Okay.
I could be wrong. But she says, she's trying to get a job at the hair salon. She says, Miss Truvy's hair salon. She says, I may or may not be married to someone who may or may not be a dangerous criminal, but I swear to you, Miss Truvy, that my personal tragedy will have nothing to do with my ability to do good hair. It kills me. It's like, sums up the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Completely.
The whole vibe of the movie.
I love you doing that accent. Do good hair. Do good hair. I'm going to say that every time I get to set.
Who's married to Daryl Hannah right now?
What's his name? He was Aiden on...
Mr. Big?
Mm-mm. Aiden on Sex and the City. John... Oh, I know everyone listening is like yelling at their radio right now.
Oh my God. I feel like it's somebody different is married to Daryl Hannah.
Oh, maybe I'm getting confused. I don't know.
Well, good thing I got the digress. Here. Okay, so I've got one last one.
Okay.
While I also
this Googled. Got so much more serious than I anticipated.
This is funny. We'll come back to Daryl Hannah. She's married to Neil Young. Sorry.
Oh, what am I thinking?
I knew it was something like shocking.
Okay.
What's your favorite memory of someone in the room?
I know my favorite memory.
Oh my God, now I've got to think of yours.
My favorite memory of Chip is we were down at 30A at a friend's beach house, and you had been drinking Coors Light all day. Like, it was one of those days. I think you had gotten there late or something, and so you were like ready to party, and you just been sipping on Coors Light all day. And then you got in the water and you were doing these figure skating moves. Do you remember this?
No.
I think the daughter of our friend had challenged you to like be a mermaid in the water. And so you got really inspired and you were like twisting around and twirling. Every time a wave would hit you, you would do a twirl. And I've never seen your hair toss that much, or you just like be so, you own, like you never laughed. You were completely in character of a mermaid figure skater. And I was like peeing in the ocean every 5 seconds because I couldn't handle it.
I can't even remember it. So I must add a million Coors Lights.
It was that kind of day.
Now I got to think of one for you. Well, there is the one where you like did the air guitar and like dropped to your death on New Year's. That was pretty funny. That was this year. But I also have this video that I stumbled across the other day.
Oh,
and
God.
I don't even remember like how we got on the topic, but when you fake arsenic somebody on the drink, and I was like, and then she walks to the drink, she poisons him, and she walks out. And like, I kind of love that video of you so much.
I did it?
Yeah, like, you like, there was a drink on the table.
Were
and you,
you
like,
commenting?
I was commenting, like, and then you acted it out. And I watched it the other night, and
did
I was like,
fake
dying.
Roofied?
Yeah, you like fake roofied some. But I think we were talking about like poisoning somebody in a bar.
We've please send me this so I can post it?
We were at MH's house.
Oh my God. All of our favorite memories involve a lot of alcohol.
Always do. Always do.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, that was fun. Next time, maybe we should proof them and like try to be funnier.
Well, you know, yeah, that is.
I mean, we did say some edgy things.
Yeah.
How'd I do with my like reveal of my text thing? I get nervous every time I talk about it publicly.
Well,
but
you know, the thing is like,
I'm just trying to be honest here.
Well, and you're just kind of normalize it by talking about it. So
that's true. Don't need to hold it all in.
Hey, and we'll send, we can both continue
sending
to send
love and light.
Love
happiness and peace. I truly am. Truly am.
Bless her heart.
Oh, okay. Well, see, that changed it. That took the whole.
That's kind of like the way you were like, love and light.
Oh, I was making fun of myself for that. But I really did. Love and good vibes. Okay, let's move on. I want to do a couple listener emails. This one I just want to read because it was really sweet. This one's from Sophie Mae Austin, and she says, "Hey, Kelly and Chip, love listening to you guys. I'm from England, from a town called Leamington Spa. You guys literally like make me laugh so much. Here's my story. I'm 30. I was in a relationship for 7 years from the age of 21. I got married at 29, and we separated 5 months later. The 7 year itch, is that, I wonder if she means 5 years later. I don't know. Yeah, the 7 year itch is real, and I should have listened when people said, you're not who you are until you're 30, because I changed a lot and grew up as a person in that time, just not with my husband. We had the big white wedding, and I got a gut anxious feeling all through planning, which I thought were just wedding jitters. It's made me realize too how much of a people pleaser I was, and that I was doing what I thought I should be doing at the time. Now I know it was my body telling me it wasn't the right decision. I wish I hadn't gone through with it all. The catalyst for the split in the end was a period of me feeling really low in autumn just after the wedding. I just lost interest in working out. I came off social media. I now think, looking back, I just had a period of brief depression and didn't realize it from it for that, as I'm quite private with feeling low, as I'm such an outgoing person normally. I went to my husband as I was so upset and just wanted reassurance. He was just not there for me and disregarded me for being low, saying to get on with it. He doesn't believe in depression or anything of the sort. However, when it was me who was feeling this way, I decided I had enough and I needed someone who would be there for me through anything the way that I would be for them. What if I had children and really needed emotional support in the future? It had been a year of crazy with the pandemic, but add in a divorce and leaving my home, and now sympathetic looks you get from people when you say things didn't work out, not ideal, but I'm starting to look at it that 50% of marriages end in divorce, and I'm still 30 and young enough to find someone who matches who I really need in my life. Bring on the future. It's also taught me that what may feel like your horrific time in your life quickly turns into old news, and then someone else's divorce, life events, people are talking about and don't care. Thank God I don't have children involved in all of this. And when, hopefully I do, it will be with the right man. Your podcasts have gotten me through. Thanks, guys." Love that. And also, I fully want to just say we support you, Sophie, finding your happiness. And you are so young. Oh my gosh.
So young.
So freaking young.
I mean, I can't imagine being married. I mean, I'm not right now. I'm 45. But like, I would have been a shit show married that young. So
totally.
And it sounds like he didn't deserve her. So
yeah.
But she's right. It's, you know, tomorrow's tomorrow. And I think the people that are in your life who love you, like, they don't care if you're married, divorced, whatever. Mm. What they care about is that you're happy.
Right.
And, you know, I have a friend that just finalized a divorce, and it was really, really hard for her. But, like, you know, being in the, like, passenger seat and watching it happen, I'm just like, he doesn't deserve you. Like,
totally.
Go find somebody that is going to love you. He'll give you all the things that your ex gave you. And the things that he didn't.
Yeah. And to be able to be your authentic self, even when that's not like happy and upbeat, like nobody can be that way all the time or you're not being real.
Right.
So anyway, sending you love and light.
Love and light.
But I really am. But that's
it. She didn't say love and light.
Go, if I didn't enunciate the T, then it's different. No, but I really, really am. I'm sending it to all the people I say it to. So anyway, okay, this is from Lindsay, who says, "Hi, Kelly and Chip. First of all, love the pod. You're a pleasure to listen to while I get ready for work on Friday mornings. You guys seem to give such good advice, so I'm writing because I don't have a therapist." Oh, God. Lindsay, I don't know. Don't take it with a grain of salt, Lindsay. I just turned 39 a few days ago. and I'm still single, no kids, and just got out of a relationship where the breaking point was he didn't want any more kids. He's divorced and has two young boys, 7 and 5. He also is 5 years older than me. For the past 2 or 3 years, I have been in this anxious, fearful state that keeps me up at night. The sadness of not having my own kids is incessantly on my mind. It's the first thing I think of in the morning and the last thing I think about before I go to bed. I got really down on myself for not prioritizing something that is so important throughout my life. In addition to being hard on myself, people also say dumb shit about my age relative to having children. You know, family, friends, the taxi driver, the guy at the rental counter. Ugh, I deal with this too. It's all such of them. Bullshit. Like, mind your own business. It blows my mind that the things that people feel the need to say about something so personal to someone. Anyway, my question is, how can I do a better job of acting casual when people say stupid things related to my biological clock? Hate this phrase, by the way. It's so hard not to launch across the table when someone says something stupid.
I mean, I think it's like you don't want to be the one who looks stupid.
What do you mean? Oh, you're saying don't react.
You don't want to react. I mean, it's... Literally, a woman could have a baby crowning and I would never acknowledge that she's pregnant. You know, it's like... Yeah. There are just like certain things that like... You have to like... Unless she told me I'm having a baby. You know, like... some people are just stupid, you know? Like, yeah. That's what I chalk things up to. It's like... But I also, I mean, for example, I sent my sister a text yesterday, which I thought was very kind and had a very kind and generous offer. And she wrote back like, nope, not going to happen, blah, blah, blah. And like, to where I called my mom and I was like, this was rude. Like, no, like, thank you for the generous offer, but I don't think that's going to work, you know? Yeah. And I just like did not respond. Uh-huh. And then 5 hours later, I got a text that was like, and I don't think my mom intervened. She was like, sorry if that came off harsh. And like, so I like let her sit with her thoughts for a second. And I think that sometimes it's like best just to like let things
not
be.
React.
Because if you don't react, I mean, granted, the person at the rental car counter is not going to think about you.
Right.
But if it's somebody that actually cares about you and loves you, like they might think like, that's interesting. They didn't respond to that or.
Ugh, my mom always calls when we're recording.
Answer it.
I should have just answered it. Hey,
Rhonda,
what's up?
Rhonda. That's my dad's friend's name, Rhonda. My mom calls her, here comes your girlfriend, Rhonda.
Oh my God.
She likes to come over after she does disc golf and drink some beers with
Dad.
Wow,
this is quite the tangent.
Anyway.
Disc golf.
Disc golf.
So you're just saying just stay quiet.
Yeah, because like, what's that fight going to do?
Right. Well, I think my mom actually taught me this, but when someone like kind of impedes on your life and gives, you know, advice or information or says something like a statement that you didn't ask for at all, she always says, she just turns and goes, thanks for sharing. I don't remember who it was, a mentor or my mom, somebody. Yeah. They thanks just look at them. Like, so if the taxi driver is like, you know, you really should start thinking about that. You can just look at him and go, thanks for sharing. And then they feel stupid, but like you're also not being a bitch.
Right.
You're just like, thanks for sharing.
I like that.
Yeah. So there you go, Lindsay.
Clearly these people are like not very self-aware anyway. So they might think that you're just saying thanks.
Well, and this is what's so stupid. It's like, do you think we didn't fucking think about that? Like, hello, everyone knows.
Right.
And it's like you adding the pressure does not help my story. Right. So like... Thanks and all, but like, yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Cool story, bro. Got it. Anyway, with that. I feel like, you know, the more I've been thinking about this like sign-off thing that we do, I really feel like you need to have like your lowest voice and say, the edge.
The edge. That sounds disgusting.
You sound like you burped that.
Well, I was trying to get the edge.
See, that was better. Yeah.
The edge.
We'll be back next week with more
of.
Oh, I got a word.
The more the edge.
More
of.
We'll be back next week with more of the edge. Okay, so would my part be?
I mean, I feel like we need to like say. I love that we're just working this out publicly. I feel like you
gotta
be like.
Guys, we need your help though. This is the issue.
When you're not in the velvet, you're the edge, or something like that. We need to play.
Everyone has a little bit of velvet and
the edge. And some of us have the edge.
It sounds like you have like a tampon shoved up your asshole.
The edge.
You're like constipated or something.
That sounds like my mom.
Everyone has a little velvet and some people are constipated.
Some people have problems. Oh, God.
Oh, my gosh. You know what I think I am going to do? Come have a drink.
Yes.
Okay. Anyway, well, you know, guys, we'll be back next week with more.
The edge.
We'll be back next week with more of
The Edge.
That's terrible. Living on the veg.
Living on the veg, you guys. We love you.
Please send us some ideas. Jesus, help us out. Okay, we gotta go.
Bye.
Bye.